believe, you know, we share that there's a blessing in giving. There's just the way it is in the scripture. And and that comes in many facets. So the other day, we were over at Mohican, and we were kayaking. And we were just kayaking down the river, and our family, and it was on Saturday, and it was early in the morning, so we were kayaking down the river. And there, in the water, was one of those blessings to me from God. And immediately I thought, this is just the blessing of God on my life. It was a water balloon that was laying there. I mean, I was just floating down the river, just innocently, and looked over, and there was a water balloon that was full of water that was ready for somebody just to gently pick up out of the water and throw at somebody else. Now, I will admit that I almost capsized trying to get it. But I knew it was of God, so I had to get that water balloon. So I did pick it up, and later I shared that water balloon with Grace right in the back. So God's blessing comes in many ways. So look. Anyways. That's all because I tithe. That's right. So we're going to go through here and share, you know, just a couple things besides Patricia. I know starting in a couple weeks, we're going to start in a series on based on 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it's actually called Last Day People. And if you look in 2 Timothy 3, it says in the last days, people will be, and Paul shares all these things. So we're going to have, just go through and talk about, one, what is a person like that? Two, how to not become a person like that? And three, how to help somebody that's in that situation. In the midst of that, I know we do have some other guest speakers. I know in the middle of October, Pastor Vic Kales from Toledo is coming down sharing. I know in the 1st of November, Pastors Enos and Diane, are pastors down in Missouri. He actually played football for the University of Missouri. They're going to be here sharing. And I know in December, we have a missionary from down in Nicaragua that's coming up here. He's from El Salvador. He's coming up here. Is going to be sharing. So, you know, God's blessed us with lots of connections, and it's just a great opportunity. There's a confession that I know we've been through. It's one confession that Holly shared with us, and I'd like us to say this again together. It's just about being in the Word of God, and if we could say this, start off here. It says, God, your Word speaks for itself. It's alive and powerful. It cuts to the chase. It causes the passion of Jesus to be made known to me. It conforms me to be like Jesus. I need to hide it in my heart so I won't sin against you. I'm not ashamed of it. I won't apologize for it. I won't keep it to myself. I'll leave it out every day with Lord's help. All right. That's it. So thank you. We did it. You know, we've been talking about for the last several weeks here about discipleship and what it means to be a disciple and the importance of being a disciple and the Great Commission, which is found here. And Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And he said, therefore, if I can get it, go flip to the next one. Angie, can you flip that to the next one? Say what? I did what? Oh, the end? Is that the end? I want the next one. All right. Click it or tick it. That's right. So he says, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I command you. And so part of that, of being a disciple, I'm activating. Can you go back to my office and in the right bottom drawer, the credenza, there's AA batteries or AAA batteries. AA batteries. Stick them in there, please. That could be a problem. Thank you, Grace. So part of being a of making a disciple, which we shared about, is being a disciple. And it's, you know, because it's hard to make something that you don't know what it is. And so just living that life, and, you know, and it's one of those things that it's not making something that you're not. So that's beginning to step into hypocrisy. And so it's just being who you are, living your life with God, and then sharing that with others. You know, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus, after he was baptized, he went, the Holy Spirit led him out into the desert to be tested by the devil. And you know what the main test the devil kept after him? The main challenge that he challenged Jesus was, who are you? His identity. Every challenge, if you read that, every challenge that he challenged says, if you are the Son of God. He said that over and over again. And you know, and it did in there, because if you read in the last part there, it says, and he left him for a more opportune time. So he didn't give up challenging Jesus' identity. And if you look and if you read in Matthew, I think it's 26, 27, 28 through there, it talks about the crucifixion. One of the things that happened is that even while Jesus was on the cross, the devil was still challenging who he is. He says, if you are the Son of God, come down. He says, if you are the Son of God. Well, he knew who he was. And he didn't react to that. But he says, if you are. You know, the devil, if he can mess with our identity, and he continues to challenge us, then he can really mess us up. You know, if we're constantly and constantly challenged. I know several in here have shared times where we're trying to find out, like, well, who am I? What is my purpose in life? And that challenge of just our identity, of who we are, really, in God. You know, it's one thing if we're living in the world and we just think we're just part of the world, what are we going to act like? The world. You know, we're just going to act like everybody else. And we're not called, we're not made to be like everybody else. That is not what God called us to be and to do. We're not supposed to think like everybody else. We're not supposed to live like everybody else. The Bible says, you know, if we look at what we're supposed to be, is that you are, says if we receive Christ as your Savior, you are a son or daughter of God Most High. That's one. There's just, Bible is filled with identity. It says you are the salt and light of the earth. It's not everybody else. You are. You are the salt and light of the earth. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are a herald of the great things, the good news of Jesus Christ. You are. Not everybody else. You are. You know, and if I wake up, and you know, and this identity thing is something that, thank you, Grace, is something that everybody, I guess that wasn't the problem. Angie, can you reload that whole PowerPoint and just try it again? Thank you. And, you know, it's one of those things that this is nobody's exempt from this. If the very Son of God was tempted this way, so are we going to be tempted that way. We're going to be tempted to challenge of who you are and to think that. And it's an everyday process. It's something that every day we have to remind ourselves. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 2:11, he says, he wrote down, for we are not unaware of the devil's schemes. So it's not like we have to be surprised that that's going to be the challenge, that the devil is going to challenge us with who we are, challenge us with our identity. And you know, and it's usually very subtle. It's usually not a big sign like you see in the football stadiums or you see, you know, somewhere says, you are not, you're a horrible person or something. It's usually those little thoughts that come, a little thing. Now, sometimes people might say that to us too, you know, but it's still, bottom line is that, do we receive that? It's who we are and being aware of that. A couple weeks ago, we talked a little bit about this, gave out this card. And if you've not received your card since you believed, they're available around all over the property. You can pick one up. And it's really a challenge that we're challenging everybody here to share the good news of Jesus. It is good news. It is great news to salvation. It is news for eternity. There's all kinds of news every day that you can spend the whole day on just sorting through news and looking at news. This is the only news that's eternity. It's eternal news, the fact that God gave his son that we might have eternal life. And in the scriptures, there we go. See? I knew. See, Grace? I think you did help. Thank you, Grace. And it's one of those things that he's given this blessing, and he told us, go into all the world and preach this good news. And then he said this, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. You know, our responsibility is to share the good news. The good news itself has power. It's not like I have to drum it up and make something, you know, the good news, because the Holy Spirit has power to change lives. And I just felt here just to stop for a moment and pray for us not to be ashamed of the gospel. Not to be ashamed, because believe me, the world is trying to beat shame into Christians. They're trying to beat shame into the Christian faith. And they said, well, you should be ashamed. That's wrong. And all this person says, no, we're not ashamed, because this is the power of God. It's not the Supreme Court justice of the United States that's the power of God for salvation. It's not, you know, all the education system. And I appreciate some of what we have here in the nation. I also believe it's not the perfect model. But let's pray right now. Let's welcome the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask you right now, each one, to help us not be ashamed of this good news. We just break off every lie of the enemy who would try to come in and cause any shame of sharing your gospel with others. And we ask, Lord, that you would fill us with courage and power and not to be afraid, Lord.
Thank you, God.
We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So we don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. And last week, we had an excellent message by Pastor Tom. Thank you, Tom, for sharing last week on just the importance of us inviting people into the kingdom of God. And we have a board we got back there in the back. I know you guys probably can't see it over there, but it's back over here in the back. Those are all the names of different ones that people put down that it was on their heart to invite. There's actually 493 names there that just initially that people felt that these are ones I can invite. These are ones, and we're talking about inviting. It's not just here to invite the church. It's inviting them into the kingdom of God, inviting them in to be a part. So I just like us to extend our hand toward that board. And you guys, by faith, even though you can't see, you're really doing it by faith because you can't even see it. But we're going to believe for the names. You don't know those names. Whoever wrote them does, but God knows all those names. So, Father, we just ask even now, you know every name on that board. And together, you said if two or more agree, your will be done. And so we believe, Father, you would draw each person's name on that board, Lord, to you. Each person, Holy Spirit, we ask you to draw their hearts. Angels, we ask you to be released around them, bringing protection and blessing. We ask for preservation on their life, and you will let them know of your great love for them, Father. Just draw them into your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I'm going to ask our youth, some of our youth, if you guys would like to come on up, and we're going to give out one of these cards to each one today. And on top of it, you can come on up and just go row by row and get this fixed. And give out. If you want to make sure that everybody gets one of these, this is called My Community. And this is something else. You know, these things we're sharing with you, this is not something we're sharing, okay, let's share this for 3 weeks and we're done. This is something that we believe God is leading us as a church to really focus on. One, to share, to be a disciple. Two, to share the good news of Jesus Christ and share the gospel. And three, to be a church that invites people. And four, this is my community, which I'm going to share a little bit about this for each one of us. This goes back to the verse we talked about, go into all the world. And this is basically what you're going to be getting. And, you know, each one of us, when we say go into all the world, what is your world? What's your world consist of? Now, some of us, how many has ever gotten to go overseas for a mission trip? Very many people in here? Good. We had several. That's awesome. You know, and that's great. And I believe very much in that. I mean, if you read through the history of the church, I thank God for missionaries who went all over the world and shared the gospel, who shared, went out, gave their life, you know, and just transformed and planted churches and shared the good news of Jesus Christ. And hopefully you will get a chance maybe to do that someday, to go on a mission. It's a great, great opportunity. But the everyday mission is your world, your community that you're hitting every day. Most of this verse, go into all the world, reflects to where you live every day. What's going on in your life? You don't have to wait and maybe go one time in your life to say, yeah, I did that back in June of 1987. I went into all the world. I did it, so I did my part. Now, our world, this is a continual, where's our world? And what our world consists of, you know, the verse in the middle there says, for the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And this is really, you could say this verse about yourself every day. This verse was related to Jesus, but Christ is in you if you've received Christ your Savior and the Holy Spirit. So really, this is your commission. And actually, I think this would be great. Oops. Let me share something first, and then we'll go back to this verse. You know, your world, in this world, some of it will include family. And these circles are all different sizes and how much they intersect your life. It depends. It's up to you, you know, how much. Some of it includes family. Some of it is your work, where you work. Some of it's your school, if you're in school, if you're a teacher, if you're a student. Some of it is shopping. Some of you have, how many know at least one person or got to talk to somebody when you go shopping, you've seen that person. There's some kind of relationship there that you build some kind of, because you go there so much that you talk to that person. So there's that could be part of your world. Your neighbors, you know, people around your neighborhood could be your world. You could be on a team of some kind, maybe a volunteer team, a community service team, maybe a board or something like that, a school board or whatever, that this is part of your world. You know, there's all kinds of different things that could make up your world. This is when Jesus says, go into all the world, that's your world. And each one of us can sit there in those circles, we give these out, that you fill in, what are those circles? What is your world? Because if we don't have a clue for what our world is, we're probably not going to share the gospel that much because we think, well, that's not my responsibility. That's somebody else's world. You know, it's my world. You know, the Bible says in Acts 17 that God appointed for each person exactly when you would be born and where you would live. I didn't make that up. Just looking at it. Said. And so there's a point of he appointed you to be here because he has a purpose for you to be the salt and light of the earth in your world and wherever he has you, whoever he has you relationships. So this here, oh, I deleted that verse. It's in there. If we could look at that card and we could actually say this as a confession together. This is actually a confession for you to say about yourself. So let's read that together. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. So that commission is for your world, to go and share the good news, to help people that things are going in life. I so appreciate Amanda, the Holy Spirit, putting that on Amanda's heart because that fit exactly what we're talking about today. Love in action. Love with a purpose. You know, not just an emotion, not just a feeling. You know, the love of God is not just a feeling. It's an action. The emotions can come, but they can go. It's like I heard somebody this last week, Grace and I was taking Grace to school, and somebody was talking about, well, you know, he really knows he's saved now because he feels it. I think, that's not why you're saved. I mean, yeah, you can feel stuff, but if your salvation is based on your feelings, you're in trouble. You know, your salvation is based on the Word of God. You know, John chapter 5, verse 11 says, if you have the Son of God, you have eternal life. Yes. So you don't have to worry about, well, am I saved or not saved? Do I feel like I'm saved? How do I feel today? It's a different. It's, yes, well, I must have lost my salvation because yesterday I felt like I was saved, but today I'm not because I don't feel that. But that's not what it's based on. It's based on the Word of God and if you receive Christ as your Savior. You know, it's the same thing with love. You know, love, if you're waiting around for a feeling, there's lots of it's not going to happen. You know, as those of you who are married, hopefully we just don't wait till we feel like something to be nice to our spouses. Because you probably, sometimes that's not going to happen. I mean, you cultivate that. You sow it. And emotions will come. The feelings will be there. So how do we do that? How do we affect our world? You know, how do we function in this world? Well, one, we talked about is that one is you are. It's who you are. It's not something you try to pretend. It's that real, genuine relationship with God. Genuine relationship with Him. And then you just share that. You know, one thing is listening. You know, if we're gonna be in a world, it's listening and to the what's going on in people's lives, paying attention to our world. You know what's happened? A big part of being in the world is prayer. You know, praying, because that helps us stay sensitive to that, to what's going on, and realize that you're not on your own trying to fix the world. You know, several of us are in small groups. You know, that your small group can help, that the church can help. You know, there's things that the community can help. All this is based on compassion. Really, it's having a heart of compassion. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, this recorded Jesus says, Matthew 24 says, because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. You know, lawlessness is not necessarily that I didn't buckle my seatbelt, even though you should do that, you know, or I was speeding or something, you know, even though you shouldn't do that. Lawlessness basically is, are you obeying God? You know, there's things that in the United States of America that are okay by the law that's against God's law. You know, abortion, you know, homosexual marriage, you know, the Supreme Court says that's okay. God's law says it's not. You know, and so just because somebody, the world or whatever you live in, said that's okay, doesn't mean God says that's okay. And so I was up at Lance Wallnau. I don't know if you guys know who he is. He's an international speaker, writer, author. He said, you know, we're in a position right now in the church, in the kingdom of God. Lois and I are up at the thing Tuesday up in Cleveland. He says, we're going to be, based on this election that's coming up, will depend if the church is going to be a vanguard church or a rear guard church. Vanguard means we go before. We're out there. We're on the offensive. We're out there. Rear guard means we're fighting because of all this junk that's going to be coming and stuff. And so I realized that's sort of what happens all the time. We got that going on a lot. But looking at the scriptures, you know, Jesus over and over again talked in the scriptures about the compassion and having compassion on people. And one of the stories shared in the scripture about compassion is very familiar, was the Good Samaritan. You know, and the second greatest commandment, do you know what Jesus said? There's two commandments. You do all these, you want fulfillment in life. You know, if you want to know what should I do in life to have fulfillment, there's two simple things. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as self. The catch is like, well, what does that mean, to love our neighbor as self? Well, it basically means to have compassion, to have a compassionate heart, you know, to listen to that. So this Good Samaritan, and most of you are familiar with that, how he, you know, there was this guy, and he got beat up, this priest went by and didn't help him. A Levite, which is a religious person back over in Israel, went by, didn't do anything. And the Samaritan, who basically Jews could despise, stopped and helped him, took him to this inn, gave the innkeeper money, and helped him. That's and you can find that in Luke 10, verse 30. So, but you know, looking at the outward, what was the condition of their heart? What was actually going on inward in these people? Well, here's this guy, this innocent guy, just walking through life, and he gets mugged. That wasn't on his agenda for that day. You know, that wasn't in his planner or on his iPhone. He didn't schedule it in. You know, it's 11 a.m., I'm going to get mugged, you know, all the way to Jericho. You know, that wasn't happening. You know, when we look at this thing in your world, when you're looking around, there's people in your world that's gotten mugged, that's gotten beat up by life. They might not physically, you might not be seeing them lying on the road naked, you know, which is what they said, but they're beat up. You know, there's things going on in their life. And if we weren't watching, if even the Good Samaritan was not watching and paying attention, he'd just go right by. You know, so we look at, there's six different people involved in this group and looking at their hearts. One was the guy who got beat up. You know, and that could be anybody in here, anywhere around. And so it's listening with the Spirit of God, listening with the compassion of Christ, You know, Lord, is this somebody who's gotten beat up? You know, and then asking, what's my role in that? You know, the sad thing is the first person went by, well, you got the robbers. You know, and there could be robbers in your world. You know, people who are just hardened. People who are just self-focused. And yet, even those people, it's like, why, God? What's happened? You know, I know people, and you probably know people, has a horrible life, horrible upbringing. They weren't ever told love, truth. They just were in that. So, Lord, so even those robbers have a condition of the heart. They might be in your life somewhere that needs to be told. Needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Yeah, the priest, you know, actually out of all these people, that's the person who's probably the hardest to reach because they're self-righteous. You know, there's a sense, and if you realize the priest they were talking about there, he had a lineage. They were like proud that I'm from Aaron's background. You know, I deserve to be here. There's this attitude. Those people, you just need to pray. But I will say, religion is one of the most dangerous things you can ever deal with for ourselves. And this is not, you know, these people, I said to her, I said, Lord, for what's not for your grace, I could fall right into the same stuff. You know, it's not like I'm exempt from any of this stuff. And the Levite was the same thing, came from family lineage and could be beat up. You know, and so really, the condition of her heart in all these, you know, part of what we realized in the Samaritan, you know, he had a family lineage too. And his family lineage basically was to know the Jews hate you and they don't want anything to do with you. He could have picked up all kinds of negative things in his heart. He could have had attitudes, you know. And so he could have had that happen in his life, but he chose not to. He chose to have compassion. You know, one person we don't hear about much is the innkeeper. The innkeeper, who took care of him after the guy left? The innkeeper did. The innkeeper had compassion too. He was a part of the team. You know, it's not just that we're alone trying to do things. There's a team. Say, God, who's going to help me care for this? Who can help me, you know, do this with this person? How many has ever had to dust something? You ever had to dust anything? How many love to dust? Yeah, not as many who has dust. So, you know, dust, how does dust accumulate? It doesn't usually just go bam and there it all is. It's a little bit at a time, a little bit here, a little bit there. You know, in science, there's an estimate. They can't really measure this, but there's approximately, they're guessing, about 60 tons of meteorite dust falls on the earth per day. Every day. So if you want to blame something, blame the meteorites. I mean, they're falling down. And so there's this dust that accumulates. And, you know, even in our own hearts, we can accumulate dust. If we're not caring for it, making sure it stays clean, dust, and that dust can harden us to the things of this earth, and we don't see things. How do we keep our hearts clean from that? Well, one is realize that it's a relationship, a real relationship with God. It's allowing his daily refreshing to come to us. Another one is keep in mind that I am also lost and now find. I never deserved any of this. I didn't deserve the grace of God. I deserved the punishment of God. I deserved to be cursed. So when I look at somebody and I think, boy, that person's a horrible person, I think, I could have been that same person if it were not for the grace. I could be worse than that person, you know, if we're not. And so what that does is help build compassion. You know, his word helps us be clean. Prayer. Jesus told us to pray for our enemies. You know, if you're dealing with somebody that's really bothering you, that's really struggling, pray for them. Jesus, it'll change your heart. It'll change your perspective. It'll change your how you see things and begin to have compassion. And so, you know, all this is just a challenge to say all of us have a community. And our desire is God has sent us to preach the good news, to be this to these people in our community. I realize all of us are busy. All of us got stuff going on. We could all, you know, and so that's why it's important when we're going through here to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because he hasn't called you. There's only one Savior, and it's not me. You know, and it's not you. But each one of us together can help bring his salvation to the earth and his what people need to know to the earth. If we could have our musicians come back up. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask our prophetic teams and our healing teams to come up here. And if you would just form a line, couple lines facing each other. And there's a commission we're going to just release. I'm going to ask these ones just to lay hands on you and just touch and pray for you as you go through. Just releasing two things. One, and there was a lot of words this morning about refreshing. Just release refreshing to your spirit and heart and soul. You know, just believe for God to bring that. But two is a commissioning to go into all the world, share the gospel, to reach your community for the gospel of Christ. So if you would come up and do that, after they get done, after you go through, I am going to ask if our personal ministry teams, they'll be available in the wings. If you want prayer about anything else, if you maybe never received Christ as your Savior, never made that step yet, maybe you're not sure, these ones can pray with you about that. And then if you also maybe take some time to greet one another. But go, we have a great commission. Don't ever think, what's my life worth? Your life is valuable because God put you somewhere that I'm not. And we're not. Nobody up here. That's you guys. You're wherever God puts you, He got you. He has you there for a purpose because He has you in your world to reach those people. God bless you. You can come on up as we're singing and worshiping and just start coming through and let these ones pray and bless you and go and be the salt and light of this world.